Indeed, how great is our God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Good morning. Good morning. Let's see if everybody's awake. Good morning. Thank you. I want us to just sing a short chorus before I get into the message for this morning. And if you don't know it, I want you to learn it. It's really simple, but it goes with my message this morning, so I want us to learn it. All right? So I'll just sing it. I know some people know it. And as I sing it, it's easy to catch on and just sing along. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go up. Those who believe are highly favored. Do you believe? All right, if you believe, sing with me. I believe that there is one God. Brother James, help me with that. The Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go. Those who believe, highly favored. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. The Lord Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go. Those who believe are highly favored. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. If you love him, say hallelujah. We believe that the Lord Jesus is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we are looking every day for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. And we want you, Lord, even as the scripture says, you know, Paul used to say, you know, I pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. We pray, Lord, that the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of God will be upon us today, revealing the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As always, we know the entrance of your word brings light. And we ask, O Lord, that that light will shine in our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. To give us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. I think we can do better than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I will take this slowly. I did send out a text this morning on the WhatsApp and I said, bring something to take notes with. I don't know how many people saw it because, you know, I kind of sent it around 8 o'clock this morning. But you're going to need something to take notes with because I have a lot of scriptures and I can't read them all. If I have to read all the scriptures, we'll be here for 3 hours. So I've got to try to do this in about 45 minutes and I don't know how I can do it. So, you know, that's why, you know, I looked at the scriptures and I said, well, bring something to write with. How many people have something to write with? Show it up. Let me see. Show me something, you know. Take notes. You got to take notes today. You know, so I'm going to do this like a teaching rather than more of the preaching. I mean, usually when you preach, you can just take one verse of scripture and preach on it, you know, and get everybody excited and so forth. But when you teach, you got to go from scripture to scripture. You know, you got to put scripture against scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You got to put it all together, you know, so. And so this morning, the oneness of the Godhead. Amen. That's right. The oneness of the Godhead. And every so often I try to come back and teach on this one way or another and so forth. You know, I think we've alluded to it in so many ways. But, you know, I want to really bring it out today, you know, just so we know. Now, this is perhaps the singular core subject and most basic fundamental doctrine throughout that Bible. You know, but it's still something that's fairly misunderstood because of traditions and so forth. So let's set the record straight. We're going to start here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You have to take notes. I'm going to move very quickly. And those who are in the back, if you can catch up real quickly, put those scriptures up. We're going to move very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Well, let's read it together. I want everybody, help me. Help me read it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not two, not three, or four, or five. The Lord our God is one Lord. Now, hear, O GMI. Let me tell you straight. The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And I shall love him with all your heart and so forth. You know, he goes on to tell them. Now, let's look at how God declares. I've got a lot of scriptures that I want to bring out, you know, and let's see how God describes himself as God with no equal, with no other person. I mean, sharing not that title with anyone else. So, a lot of scriptures here. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 44, verses 8 and 24. Verses 8 and 24 of Isaiah 44. He says right here, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told you from that time, and have I not declared it? Ye are even my witnesses that there is..." Now, is there a God beside me? So he's asking a question. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Amen. Verse 24 of Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth out the earth abroad by myself. Didn't need any help. Didn't take two or three people to do it. He did it alone. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 45 and verses 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me, he told him. He said, look, from the rising, he said, that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west and so forth, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's verse 6. Amen. He's the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 43. I'm just going to read this, some of these scriptures, and then when I get around to, there's a bunch of other scriptures I'm going to just give to you that I won't have time to read. But these first few ones, let me just read them. Isaiah 43 and verses 10 and 11. Ye are my witnesses. That's the second time we're reading that. Saith the Lord, my servant in whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Now, not we are they, but I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Amen. I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, that's just the way you think. You know, in the olden days, I mean, people were even afraid to say his name. There's one name they used to call him. They called him Yahweh. He didn't have any vowels in it. They couldn't even pronounce it. You know, sometimes he revealed himself to them as Jehovah and so forth. You know, the Lord, he is God. That's what that means. You know, Elohim, he is the God, the very God. You know, so Now he tells them that, look, there is none beside me. There is no other savior.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, we're going to read some of this and all that.
Well, if there is none other savior, then who then is Jesus Christ? Because, I mean, we are told in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and 23, he said, you know, talking about, you know, Jesus, he said that you call his name, what? What shall you call his name? Emmanuel. Meaning what? Which being interpreted means that it is God with us.
That's what it means.
And the name that he was given, Jesus, it also means, you know, they pronounce it in Hebrew, Yeshua, which is like Jehovah, our salvation. You know, that's really what it is. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, you know, you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. You know, he's Jehovah, our salvation. There are many names by which they called him in the Old Testament. You know, and some of the Jehovah names and so forth, I have those written down here. I'm going to go through it very quickly. You're just going to write this down. I don't have time to really read all of it because there's some other things I want to talk about. But that, you know, just you can write this down and you can study them on your own. They called him Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 24 and verse 14, the Lord will provide for himself a land. They called him Jehovah Rapha in Exodus chapter 15 and 26. The Lord that heals us, our Lord, our healer. They called him Jehovah Nissi in Exodus 17 and 15. That's the Lord, our banner or our victory. They called him Jehovah Makadesh. That's in Exodus 31 and 13. The Lord that sanctifies us. You're going to have to write this down. I don't have time to stop and read each one. They called him Jehovah Shalom. And that's in Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. That's the Lord, our peace. You know, they also called him Jehovah Sabaoth. You know, the Lord God Almighty in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 13. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse, wait. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 3, sorry. Then they call him Jehovah El Elyon. Oh my. I like that. That's in Psalm 7 and verse 17. The Lord God Most High. They call him Jehovah Ra, which is the Lord my shepherd, in Psalm 23 and verse 1. They also called him Jehovah Hosenu, which is the Lord our maker, in Psalm 95 verse 6. Now, this is going back to some of the Greek, you know, words and so forth, you know, and all that, and Hebrew. They also call him Jehovah Sikenu, which is the Lord our righteousness, in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. And finally, they call him, you know, Jehovah Savior in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. How many of you can say amen to that? It's all the same. In Matthew 21 verses 1, I mean chapter 1 and 21, he announced the birth of Jesus and called him Jehovah, our salvation. But he shall save his people from their sins. So throughout the scriptures, whatever name they called him from time to time, it was still the same one person. Now, let's talk about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us, everybody should know that scripture. You can put it up, Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us, what? And unto us a son is what? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's the oneness of the Godhead right there. This same child and son that was born, people celebrate him once a year all over the world and so forth. We know who he is. You know, he is to be called Wonderful. He is to be called Counselor. He is the very mighty God. Now, there's only one God. And so if he is the mighty God and there's some other God, then there's two gods already. But he is the mighty God. And not only is he the mighty God, he is actually the everlasting Father. Hallelujah! How can this child be born and be called the Son and be the Father at the same time? Well, I'm going to give you some scriptures to explain that this morning. Just hang in there, you know. The everlasting Father, that's who he is. And he's also the Prince of Peace. He's the King and he's the Prince at the same time. Hallelujah! There is no God beside me. I know not one. Hallelujah. Well, if that's the case, you know, there are some difficult, seemingly difficult, actually not difficult at all, it comes by revelation. There are some seemingly difficult verses in the scripture, difficult for people to reconcile, and I will touch on them today and I will explain it. I'm not going to hide any of the scriptures, but, you know, there are hundreds of scriptures in this Bible that talk about the oneness of the Godhead. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and also verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not the Word was another God, but the Word was the very God. And the Word was made flesh. Verse 14. And he dwelt among us. So that was God made flesh. Can you say praise the Lord? That's all it is. God was made flesh. And he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Even the glory as of the only begotten of the Father and so on. Now, let's talk about the Creator. Who is he? Well, he already said, I spread out all of the heavens by myself. You know, I did the earth by myself. I didn't need any help. I'm God. There's nobody else. He's the Creator. We know that. But let's go here to Colossians chapter 1. And let's read from verses 12 of Colossians to about 19. Colossians 1, verses 12 to 19. And so this scripture here is describing the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Talks about, you know, then he goes on to talk about Jesus. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, verse 15. It's talking about his Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What does that mean? Well, how can he be the firstborn of every creature? Because I came forth and proceeded out of God. That's what Jesus said. And God spoke the word first. That's why it's called the beginning of the creation of God. The word came out of God first before anything was formed. Let there be. And there was. And that same word that came out became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Praise the Lord. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, now notice, there's only one God, there's only one creator. I created the heavens by myself alone and spread out the earth abroad by myself, he said in Isaiah. We already read that. For by him, he's talking about Jesus here. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, anything that there was, were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. And he is before all things. That's Jesus. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and so forth like that. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, that in him should all fullness dwell. Now you can read also Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know, we have all kinds of traditions of men right now, rudiments of the world, but they are not after Christ. I mean, people brought all kinds of tradition into the church. But Christ. This is what he says about Christ in verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Now, notice this scripture doesn't say, that Jesus dwells in the Godhead bodily. No, that's not what it says. In Jesus Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. That's the oneness of the Godhead. That's the Godhead unified. It dwells inside of Jesus bodily. You can't find any other God besides him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's take a look at some of these other scriptures. This will help us out here. In the book of Luke chapter 1, when the angel came to announce to Mary, I'm sure just about everybody, even the little ones, know this story. So, angel Gabriel, he came and announced to Mary. And let's pick up the story from verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. We'll pick it up from verse 30. So, angel tells Mary, fear not, for thou hast found favor with God, and so forth. And he tells her that, she's going to have a child. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said, how can these things be? Mary wasn't even married. She'd never been with a man. And, she said, look, how is this going to be? So the angel said, don't worry about it. That was very hard for Mary to understand, or anybody else for that matter. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Amen? Amen? Therefore, so this is the reason why he's called the Son of God. This is the reason. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now, when you have a male child, he's got to be the son of somebody. And when you have the female child, she's got to be the daughter of somebody. Is that true? Now, so this thing also that will be born of you has to be called the son of somebody. Obviously, this is the only place where Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, is being fulfilled. This is not the seed of man. This is the seed of the woman. Because Adam, the first man, was created spontaneously by God. And then this is the only person, again, that we see here. Other people had father and mother and so forth. This one, his father was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! You say the father was the Holy Ghost. That's exactly right. But that's what the angel said. The angel said, you will conceive of the Holy Ghost. That's right. So that makes the Holy Ghost the father of Jesus. Amen? That got quiet in here. Well, that's the truth. The Holy Ghost is his father. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must do what? Worship him in spirit and truth. The Holy Ghost, he is the very God. He is Elohim. He's not just some third person or something. He's the very God himself. The reason we think of him as Holy Ghost and all that is because God shed a little piece of it, put in us so that we may walk like him. But he put the Holy Spirit upon Jesus without measure. It was embodied inside of him. Now, whoever makes the woman pregnant is the father of the child. So if the Holy Ghost is the one that made Mary pregnant, speaking it in plain terms that everybody can understand, that makes the Holy Ghost the father of the child. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Ghost is not God, then that makes Jesus to have two fathers. So if you can prove that, God bless your heart. But he cannot have two fathers. He had only one father, and the Holy Spirit, who was Elohim, the eternal fire. That was God himself. Hallelujah. And that's what made Mary to have that child. So that's the reason he's called the Son of God. You got to be called the son of somebody. Well, what about Genesis 1:26? So this is one of the scriptures that baffles people. What about Genesis 1:26? What we see right here, when God created everything, in Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And this scripture has tripped people up throughout, you know, all generations. Just because God, you know, just because it says here, God said, let us make man in our image. Well, and some people said, to try to explain it, they said, well, God was talking to angels. He could hardly not have been talking to angels. Let me set the record straight here today. There is absolutely no way that God could have been talking to angels, because angels are not in the image of God. Angels were never made in the image of God. You say, angels were not made in the image of God? Well, he said, make in our image. So whoever he was talking to had to be in the same image. Are you still with me? Say it right there. Let's make man in our image. So who was he talking to? Well, all right. But before we go further, let's read the next verse. Verse 27. You know, before you go further, let's read verse 27. So God created man in his, not in their image, but God created man in his image. In the image of God created he, singular, not they didn't create man. He created man, male and female created he, the man and the wife. But he created them. Praise the Lord. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, to explain this further. Because I said angels were not in the image of God. Now, some people that even believe that Jesus Christ is the very God, they try to explain this away by saying that Jesus, I mean, God must have been talking to angels. No, he wasn't, could not have been talking to angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Let's read it. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us in time past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed to be heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So he's the only one. Remember, we read it also in Colossians 1:15. He said, he is the image of the invisible God. And now he says, he's the express image of his person. So you want to see God, you look at Jesus. Amen. Now, so he had to have been talking to Jesus. That's right, because he's the only one that had his image. You say, well, that makes them two. No, well, no, because, you know, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. You know, I came to do thy will, O God. You know, so the lamb was slain before the world began. God had all these things in his mind. He knew about it. God being, you know, the ultimate object of worship, had the attributes to be God. So he created people to worship him. He also had the attributes to be a father. And he wanted children. You know, that's what he really wanted. He wanted to be our heavenly father. But people lost that birthright, so to speak. And if you read in the book of Luke chapter 3, and you read the genealogy of Jesus backwards, you will see where it goes to the last verse in Luke 3 and verse 30, and talks about Adam was the son of God. Well, there was no place else they could go. They traced it back down. They traced it to Adam. They found he was the son of God. There's no place else to go. You know, God wanted that relationship of sonship, but we didn't have it. Now, because the lamb was slain before the world began, and because all these things are in the mind of God, and because Jesus would proceed and come forth out of God, God already knew that he was going to send that Savior, and he knew that Jesus was going to have the very image and be the very express image of his person, you know, so he could say, God could say, let us make man in our image. But he turned around, he said, he, singular, made man, and that was God, you know. So we know that the only person that was in his express image was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. And Jesus said it himself, I came forth and proceeded out of God. I got to hurry up here. There's a lot of scriptures that I need here to give you. Now, you know, what about this Trinity thing that we hear about then today? You know, so, well, there are some things that people talk about that are not in the scriptures. And it's not necessarily, you know, an issue. It's just because people don't understand it. But people do refer to God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. That's nonsense. You hear me? That is nonsense. You know, it doesn't make any sense. That makes three gods. There's only one God. Now, he has appeared in three different offices, and he can appear any way he wants. You know, he could be the Father. That's what he wanted to share with us. Now, he came as the Son, and Jesus expressly said, except I go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Why not? Why couldn't both of them just be here? Because that's the office. The office of the Son finished, he went, then the Holy Spirit. And many times you can read John chapter 15 and John chapter 14. I don't have time to read it all. And Jesus will say things like this. The Comforter, whom you have heard of the Father from me, you know, the Father will send him to you. And then he will turn around and say, you know, the Holy Ghost, whom I will send to you from the Father. Well, is it the Father that's sending him, or is it Jesus that's sending him? Well, it's one and the same. Praise the Lord. Now, there is only one God, folks. And you can slice him up three different ways or five different ways. This is what people do in the hidden world. There are many gods. In the book of 1 Corinthians, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. There be many that are called gods and lords, many and so forth. You know, whether in heaven or earth, people worship even the things that they make with their own hands and call them gods and lords, you know. But verse 6 says what? What does it say in verse 6? But unto us, there is but one God. Amen. The Father, of whom are all things, and we are in him, and there is one Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. Now, if God the Father is God, which we know he is, that makes him Lord. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God the Son, that makes him Lord. And if the Holy Ghost is God, then that makes him Lord. But if you don't know how to combine all of that into the oneness of the Godhead, then you are left with three different lords and three different gods. But that's not in the scriptures. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Amen. Amen. And Judaism till today, they don't accept Yeshua, you know, as God. Because they said, in fact, that's the reason they killed him. They took up stones many times to kill him. There's a story here in the book of John chapter 10, where Jesus was talking about, you know, trying to represent the Father and so forth, and telling them that, look, if you had known the Father, you would have known me also. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but read it. It's a very interesting chapter. He says to them, I and my Father are one. Amen. Hello? I and my Father are one. And when he said that, they took up stones. Look at verse 11. They took up stones to stone him, because they wouldn't have any part of it. How can you say you and the Father are one? And then Jesus said, okay, hold on now. I've shown you many great works. Which of them are you stoning me for? And they said, well, for the great works which you have done, we stone you not. But in that you, being a man, you make yourself God, we are going to stone you. And that's the reason they eventually killed him, you know, because they said he makes himself God. And they couldn't understand it. Well, Jesus also in John chapter 6, he talks about the bread from heaven. He said, Moses gave you that bread, but that's not really the real bread. And he represented himself. And they said, well, they didn't understand it. Well, he goes on also in chapter 8, and he began to tell them. He said, look, this God that you say is your Father, if we're really your Father, he said it to them also in chapter 10. If you are really your Father, then you would hear me. And then they begin to say, oh, you know, well, we you know, we have one God. We're also the seed of Abraham and this and that. Jesus said, if you were the seed of Abraham, you wouldn't go about to kill me. you know, and so forth. And he finally told them, he said, your father, whom you say is your father, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. I mean, that was a shocker. And the people said, you have not yet even been 50 years old. So turn with me to John chapter 8. Let's quickly read that. You are not yet 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? We're not 50 years old. Well, how could you have seen Abraham? That's in verses 56. He began to tell them. Verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? And then he told them something that blew everybody's minds. He said in verse 58 of John chapter 8. Can you put up that scripture and I want everybody to read it? Jesus said unto them, read with me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. Okay, well, let me read that to you again. This is the way it sounds. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. And we've heard that somewhere before. We heard it in Exodus, didn't we? We saw in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses saw the fiery flame, and God spoke to him out of the flame. And he said, and God said, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel to bring them out. And he said, well, who should I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. Hallelujah. That's right. There's only one place that he ever said that I am that I am. And now Jesus, he stands right here and he says the same thing. Never said before Abraham was, I was. Oh, no, no, no. Before Abraham was. And he used that same phrase again, which means Elohim, the self-existent eternal one. I am. Hallelujah. I am. Boy, you know, they killed him for that. You don't say that around the Sanhedrin and the Jews and those Pharisees and Sadducees. They'll get you. And they got him. Now, for reference, you can read Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14. That's the place where God called himself the Elohim. I am that I am. That means self-existent one. You know, he had no beginning. He had no ending. You know, there's no God beside him. He's the only one. Praise the Lord. So when he said that, of course, the people didn't like it. So that makes Jesus God. That makes him the eternal one. And he made the claim. Hallelujah. You know, like many people have been coming to this church for a long time, even though this is one of our core principles. And so many people that come here that still don't understand it. And I'm taking the time to explain it today. And it's core principle in the Bible. You know, Philip was one of the disciples that didn't understand it either. Actually, none of them understood it. But Philip was bold enough to ask Jesus in John chapter 14. So let's read. In John chapter 14, Jesus was telling them about going to prepare a place and coming and doing all these things when he was ready and so forth. So he talked to them about, look, you know, my father and this and so forth, was telling them in verse 7. So Philip said, okay, enough already. I mean, you've been telling us about the father and all that. Show us the father and it will be sufficient for us. I mean, this business of telling us the father, speaking to us in mysteries and parables all the time, riddles. You know, tell us, show us the Father plainly, and it will be sufficient for us. Amen. And Jesus said the same thing that I can say to people today. Have you been with me so long time, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? Amen. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And why are you asking me to show you the Father? I mean, nobody could understand that. How can we see you and have seen the Father? Believest thou not that the Father is in me and I am in the Father? The works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. And begin to tell them. And they couldn't understand it until his resurrection. But he put it out there, you know, if you have seen me, You have seen the Father. Praise the Lord. Now, these next scriptures that I'm going to give you, I'm going to just read them out. You can write them down. I don't have time to read them because I have to close in the next 5 minutes. You know, I'm going to just read them out to you, the verses, write them down, and you can go research them on your own. But maybe we'll pick it up next time. Now, God never referred to himself in the scriptures as three. He always referred to himself, and the scripture always referred to him as the Holy, what? The Holy One of Israel. And I have about 60 scriptures written down here where it talks about the Holy One of Israel. And I'm going to read to you maybe about 12. So you can write it down, go check it. It's all over the Bible. Use your concordance. Use Google to search it. Use your Bible app to search it. The Holy One of Israel. Psalm 71 verse 22. Psalm 78 verse 41. Psalm 89 verse 18. I'm going through this very quickly. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. Isaiah 17 and verse 7. Isaiah 29. Somebody says slow down. Okay. Isaiah 29, verse 19 and verse 23. Isaiah 30, verse 11, verse 12 and verse 15. Isaiah 37, verse 23. Isaiah 43, verse 15. Isaiah 47, verse 4. Isaiah 55, verse 5. Isaiah 60, verses 4 and 9. I mean, I can go on and on and on. I don't have time to go on. These scriptures are all over the place. And, it's not only in Isaiah, you know, but even if it was only in Isaiah, it's good enough. Praise the Lord. It's in the book of Kings. It's in the book of Jeremiah. Talk about the Holy One of Israel. Let me read just a few of them to you. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Amen? That's right. Take a look at 47 and verse 4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. Now, who's our Redeemer? Of course, we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. He is the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 55 and verse 5. You can read all those scriptures I gave you. I'm just going to read in some of them. Isaiah 55 and verse 5. It talks about the same thing. The Holy One of Israel and so forth. Lastly, this set of scriptures I want to give you are the places in the New Testament where the apostles wrote about God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, they never wrote about God, the Father, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. There's no scripture for that. But they wrote about God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's take down the scriptures. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3. And Jude, chapter 1. Jude only has one chapter. Jude, verse 1. All these scriptures talk about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we put it in the scriptures. Because you can't deny, you know, if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father either. But if you acknowledge the Son, you have both the Son and the Father. So we don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came in the flesh. As a matter of fact, this message and this teaching comes by revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Now that is the Lord, which is Jehovah, except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can't do it. You know, you can't do it. You know, it's by the Holy Ghost. It comes by revelation. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by Holy Ghost. Now, in closing, let me just say this. There is no controversy about this. It's all in the Bible. Search the scriptures yourself. To show you that there is no controversy whatsoever, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Can you put that up for me, please? And I want everybody to look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Do we have it? Are we asleep back there? Anybody back there? 1 Timothy 3:16. They're not there? Okay. And without controversy. Amen? There's no controversy. Without controversy, can you read with me? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on in the world, believed on in this world, and so forth, preached to the Gentiles, received up to glory. Now, of course, we know that that's Jesus Christ, you know, but it's God manifest in the flesh, not some other person. It was the very God that was manifest in the flesh. And there's no controversy about it. There is absolutely no controversy. Now, for you to understand this revelation and to have this understanding, it is eternal life. Can you say amen? I will close with this scripture. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. To have this knowledge, to have this understanding of who Jesus is eternal life. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that. Praise the Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, sure. There's one scripture in Matthew 8 and 20, 18 and so forth where it says, go ye into all the world, teaching them and so forth, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But that's one scripture. But every place throughout the Acts, I don't have time to read it, where they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those two scriptures have to be the same thing. They can't contradict each other, you know. And so that means that the name of Jesus Christ is the same as the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that, even though that scripture is there in Matthew 8, 28 and 18 and so on through 20, there is no place in the Bible where we are told to pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There's no place in the Bible. He said, pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, ask in my name. All things whatsoever you shall ask in my name, in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you shall ask anything of the Father in my name, that will I do it for you. The proper name to pray, there's a message on our website on that as well. The proper name to pray is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, we condemn that? No, of course not. It comes by revelation, and it comes from the Lord. And what is it that thou hast not received? And if you have received it, wherefore then can you boast? You know, so if any man has this revelation or knowledge, you know, and so forth, remember, revelation puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8 and 3. But knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So we love everybody and so forth. We want everybody to understand the truth of God's word because we're serving only one God. Amen. We're not serving three gods and so forth like that. When you get to heaven, we're doing the book of Revelation and we covered it in the first few parts. You know, there was one that sat on the throne, you know, and you are not going to see three different gods. That doesn't happen. And if we have three gods, then we have three gods. But we have only one God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. And I will speak this to us as we stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's take a quick look at another scripture here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. To help us further clarify the difference between oneness in number and oneness in agreement.
First John chapter 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he had testified of his Son. If you look at verse 7, you see that it talks about these three, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, being one. It says these three are one. But in verse 8, when he talks about the Spirit and the water and the blood, he said these three agree in one. So in verse 8, the Spirit and the water and the blood, they are not one, but they agree in one. But in verse 7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Now, if these three are one in verse 7, is the same as these three agree in one in verse 8, there would have been no use or no reason to use two different phrases. The one says these three are one, the other says these three agree in one. But what we see in this scripture is that the oneness of the Godhead is truly one in number and not just one in agreement. So the Godhead is one in number and not just one in agreement. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It's a very difficult thing to try to teach something like this in 45 minutes or less. That's why I ran through all those scriptures. But I want to speak this to us that Jesus spoke about himself in the book of Revelation while we are in prayer. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, I want you to be in the spirit of prayer because I'm going to use this to pray for us. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, we see Jesus revealed, and he said, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, you can't be the Alpha and the Omega if you are the second or you are the third. Alpha means you are the first. Omega means you are the last. You are the beginning and you are the ending. And that's Jesus making that proclamation. He said the same thing also in verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he commanded him to write these things and send it to the churches. And verse 17, fear not. I am the first and the last. And just in case you are wondering who was speaking, he goes on to say, I am he that liveth and was dead. So we know who that is that was speaking. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I am also Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of hell and death. We should never be afraid of hell. Should never be afraid of death. Jesus whooped the devil and he got the keys from him. Amen. And he is the living one. He is Alpha and Omega. Now, if you love the Lord today, I want you to throw up your hands. And I'm going to pray. I'm not going to call you out because we're out of time. The praise team is coming up already. But I'm going to pray. I want you to lift up your hands and believe with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe that you are the living God. I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is the Alpha and Omega? If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. Yes, I am Alpha and Omega. And before Abraham was, I am. Now, Lord Jesus, let this revelation and the meaning thereof permeate our souls and our spirit. Now, that's where the real power lies. Because all power in heaven and on earth is given to that name of Jesus. And if you recognize that there is no other person, that's where the real power is. And if you have any need here this morning, I'm going to say just one short prayer in that mighty name. That you may know the certainty of this matter. I command that the name of Jesus bring that miracle for you that you are looking for. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the name of Jesus be exalted. Let his name be praised. He is Alpha and Omega. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, before I turn it over to the praise team, I want you to lift your hands up and sing with me just a few lines of this song. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy to